Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Kick off hour two of the Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday, broadcasting live from the book. Where's that? Well, it's a couple of places. Today, it's Cherokee, North Carolina at Harris Cherokee. Also, Harris Valley River in Murphy, North Carolina. The book, what is that? About 3 months ago, we were here for the opening of the book. It is live on-site collegiate and professional sports wagering, so that is where we're broadcasting today. And whenever there's any sort of sporting events, big time things going on, we're here for the draft, we're here for March Madness, back in February we're here as well for Kansas City tried to make it two in a row and didn't. We were here for that. So just all the big events again back here at the book, and it is just a big, big environment here. So always love being on site in North Carolina at both of the Harris. Let's go ahead and get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365. Presented by EcoDerm. Text EcoDerm to 31996 now for your free sample of EcoDerm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
Headline, LSU says James Craig out as Tigers O-line coach. LSU announced yesterday that James Craig, no longer the Tigers' offensive line coach. No reason given. He's LSU searching for a new coach during a time when not many guys are without jobs. I've already been told, hey, kind of look around. I don't know that this is secret information, but I'm going to say it. I'm sure you can find it on the interweb, or maybe everybody's already talking about it. But maybe looking at Florida State, maybe looking at Arkansas as a place to find its next offensive line coach. But it's not just that everybody's employed right now. It's that unofficial visits started 2 days ago, and tomorrow you start welcoming recruits on campus for official visits. And this is just not a good look. So Craig out, and there you go. Want to mention one note from, again, the College Football Hall of Fame and their ballot out yesterday, and this is a member of it and somebody that you want to talk about a little bit. Been just tough news coming out of the Associated Press. Headline, former Ivy League football coach Frank Navarro passes. Yeah, he was 91 years old and turned around programs beginning at Division III, also head coach at Columbia. He passed actually on May 30th, died at his home in Charleston, South Carolina. Natural causes. He played at Maryland and was on a 52 Sugar Bowl winning team. Served in the Air Force, again, veteran, and so I was kind of reading that as an offshoot of the Coach K retirement story yesterday, because he also was active duty and was an officer, actually, and a veteran. So just a former very successful Ivy League football coach, Frank Navarro, passes at age 91. Consider yourself up to date. There was the note yesterday, and I didn't give it enough enough talk at the time because we were already in the middle of the program and we are college football and all that. But I'm going to talk a little bit more as we get through the program at the end of the show today. Coach Krzyzewski, Mike Krzyzewski, announced his retirement. And as I was saying, played at Army for Bob Knight, then served as an officer in the Army for 5 years and started coaching, started working full-time in basketball in 74 or 75, but he'd already been an officer for 5 years. So, you know, you work for 52 years, whatever the industry is, you can ride off into the sunset. But there's a lot bigger picture, not just with Coach K's announcement, but with how we all view it and how we're going to kind of pay attention over the next probably, I guess, 10 months because he announced not his retirement right here, right now, but it's going to be at the end of the next season. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that as we go through the program, but I did want to mention it again in connection there with Coach Navarro. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break and to come back, continue with more of the Chuck Oliver Show next.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
There is certainly no shortage of recruiting information on the internet. You can Google your computer and find player rankings, opinions, videos, whatever. This kid's going to go to Oklahoma. No, he's going to Ohio State. You can find that everywhere. There are a lot fewer places that you really want to rely on, but no matter which realm of the recruiting industry you work in, how credible, how large, how small, how, you know, emerging, whatever, there's a monster change that's taking place right now, and it has to be making life miserable, actually. And I'm talking about, I mean, essentially recruiting rankings. Well, they update them all the time. Now, I'm talking about because of the transfer portal. To properly reflect what a class is, it changes sometimes within days. I mean, if you had Brew McCoy committed to the Trojans, but then signing with Texas and then transferring to USC, I mean, that one kid made two different – he's a five-star. He made two different teams' recruiting rankings look like an EKG. If you work in the recruiting industry, you are working a lot more than you used to, and I want to know how they're navigating it. So let's head out to a guy we have on regularly, and, man, he's as good as they come from Rivals. It is Woody Womack. Woody, how you doing, brother?
Hey, Chuck, how are you? I'm doing great.
Let's talk life pre-portal. You could kind of give some recruiting rankings after the one day in February, for the most part. You put your class to bed, and that's how a class would kind of look. The early signing period plus the transfer portal – what is the challenge of giving rankings and ratings that you believe truly reflect your opinions?
Yeah, so the toughest part right now for us is trying to figure that out. I mean, okay, so in the past, if you signed a JUCO recruit, he would be ranked and added to your recruiting class. We haven't done that with the transfers yet. And I just, like, we're working on it now. What we'll probably end up doing is re-ranking them. Like, you know, because a guy who's a five-star, you know, in 2018 might not be a five-star when he transfers in 2021. So right now we've been kind of doing like an impact ranking, you know, hey, this is the impact we think this guy's going to have, but that's still not reflected on the class. But we're sort of transitioning now and trying to figure it out. And the whole industry is because, you know, like Georgia adding Eric Gilbert for 2 years. I mean, how's that any different than them taking a JUCO kid who would be ranked? So that's the it's hard, man. It's hard
absolutely, man. And like I said, you know, there you can find recruiting opinions anywhere, but for a place like Rivals, for instance, where there's going to be backed up with the data and the previous rankings and the offered list and all of that, I mean, you're spinning plates. You're juggling chainsaws. And that really is – I mean, it's the same thing for coaches. They're like, yeah, that's just a list on the internet. I'm trying to manage a roster because I got to go play LSU in week two. Just talk about the challenges for the coaches as they're getting back into on-campus recruiting beginning tomorrow.
Oh man, they're really going through it because, you know, and I think some of them are finding out the hard way too with players reporting, all the guys who are in now. They didn't get a chance to work these kids out last summer. A lot of times, even if a kid is committed, unless except for a select few, they're going to work out in front of the coaches on campus. So that didn't happen last year. So you had all kinds of guys committing places, you know. Some of them didn't even play senior seasons, you know. So yep. You're talking about two-year-old film, and that's what these guys were evaluating on. Now, this year, if you've noticed, in the month of May, there was hardly any commitments. Well, that was because schools around the country are saying, why don't you hold off till you can come to campus? And what that means is, why don't you hold off until we can see you work out in person? You know, a lot of people like to make jokes or – They see our one-on-one videos. That's not real football. You know, guess what? Every school in the country is running kids through those same drills right now on campus, all across the country, because they want to evaluate them in person and make sure that they're kids they want to take.
Am I correct in this that isn't that absolutely was what you show up with your cleats and ready to run around? That's not what every program does anymore, and it kind of makes some kids look around and go, well, why am I going to go to fill in the blank, you know, whatever school, and bust my tail and run around, sweat and bleed a little bit where I can go to this other school, and we're just going to hang out and have barbecue and lobster?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can, but you know, Nick Saban's running everyone through stuff right now. I can tell you that right now. We got five stars in the class of 2023 that are getting handed a pair of cleats when they show up to do that athletic test that they do over there. So, you know, some of them roll off the red carpet. Clemson's doing that now, and Miami's doing the same thing. But 10 days from now, it's going to be, hey, you know, we know you had fun last week. Can you make it back this week to go ahead and work out? We want to work with you on the field and get a feel for the coaches. They spin it in whichever way they want, you know, but it's all about evaluating for them because you have to be careful with the number of spots there are available.
Okay, I want you to know that, like, I popped out of the womb complaining about taxes. So it's not just, like, my age that makes me have an old man mentality. I've been this way since I was 12. The player empowerment and movement and rights and Gus Malzahn saying, let's put your Twitter handle on the back of your jersey and say your last name. It almost makes it so what I was talking about, you know, some coaches saying, no, just come hang out. It almost makes it, if you start asking recruits to do anything, that may separate you from a program who is saying, no, it's just a day at Six Flags over here.
Well, I get that. I know what you're saying. But that's the same way Clemson has been taking this approach with the lack of offers. You know, like sometimes when you reach a certain level, you can treat kids differently. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to offer 500 kids. They can withhold an offer. The quarterback commit they got now, Cade Klubnik, they didn't offer him until after Ty Simpson committed him. They offered him and he immediately popped on. Now, that kid had 50 other offers for multiple years, but he was waiting on Clemson. So certain schools can get away with it. Other ones can't. But the problem is if you kind of couch out to the players completely, you're going to run into a problem when they get there, when you start screaming at them and then they're hitting the transfer portal.
Yeah, you got to de-recruit them. Continuing again, Woody Womack from Rivals. One last thing about just, you know, general recruiting. If the officials are starting tomorrow, and that's kind of when you cut the ribbon on name, image, likeness for a lot of the first time where in person you're going to be able to walk through this with your recruits. Hey, you come to Florida State. I think it's the Apex program, or maybe that's Bama. Everybody's got their name for it. What have you heard, if anything, about how certain programs are going to really use leverage from name, image, likeness to maybe level the playing field or get an advantage?
So it's really tricky for schools because they still don't really know the rules, like, because there's so many moving parts, even though it's a month away. And schools still can't bring endorsements to the kids, which is also weird. Like they can't serve as a middleman. So a lot of these right now, these programs are showing off are kind of for show. What they can do to help the kids is, and the kids are seeing it already, is, look, you're getting promoted by the school. Like you mentioned, the UCF and Gus Malzahn on Twitter handle thing. The same goes for tweets and Instagram, where they're sending the kids videos, custom edited videos for them to post on their own feeds to help their brand. That's kind of the biggest thing they can do, is just kind of raise the profile of the kids, promote the individual players in addition to the program. So I think a lot of schools are going to say a lot of things, but until I think honestly it's going to take 2 or 3 years for us to figure out who's actually like benefiting the most from the name, image, likeness, and who can actually use it to their advantage. Because a lot of schools sign deals. There was a company, I think it was Influencer, that signed deals with 10 or 15 schools, and then Influencer realized that they couldn't do the marketing they wanted because the way the laws were looking, and then they pulled out. So you had schools advertising, hey, we signed a deal with this company. Yep. Then they pulled out, and now they have nothing to show for it. So,
well, let's talk on-field at least a little bit. Shamar Stewart, giant kid out of Florida, and I've talked to him. I talked about him already a couple of times in the recruiting process here as we're kind of, you know, tilting towards the next class. Have you seen him in person? Because, I mean, at that size, athletic, explosion, quick, I mean, those are a lot of words you don't normally use for a kid that goes like 260 whatever.
Yeah, I have seen him. You know, one thing I'd like to see more is I'd like to see him take some more reps, to be honest with you, Chuck. Like, I've seen him stand around and watch other people, you know, so that's kind of one thing that's the question mark with him. You know, one of the hardest things when you're doing rankings is ranking, you know, the desire, or, you know, as the ex-NFL players call it, the dog factor, you know. And so that's the one question with Shamar right now. We have a little lower than others. But in terms of his athleticism, I mean, you know, he's a basketball player. He can do all kinds of cool dunks, and he has a tremendous athleticism, you know, that translates to other sports as well. So a lot of times when you have that, if you can walk and chew gum, you're going to be a third-round NFL draft pick. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's just so he's definitely a special athlete. I just want to see him. I want to see him come out there and act like he's the best, and kind of show what he can do as well. So that's the one missing aspect of this game right now.
I want to ask you about one more kid quickly out of Florida. We got about a minute left. Marvin Jones Jr., American Heritage. That's a great place for a recruiter to go try to find players. What about Marvin Jones Jr.?
Yeah, you know, he's a guy that kind of reminds me of Greg Russo, who just went high in the Sears draft from Miami. This was a guy who was a wide receiver two or three years ago. Now he's put on like 50 pounds, and now he's just a terror on defense. So anytime you can have a guy that's got the ball skills from being an offensive player, move him to defense, bulk him up, and give him that size, you know, there's a reason everybody's knocking down his door, and he's only scratching the surface. I mean, you're talking about a guy who, you know, has first round potential and probably going to put on more weight and get even bigger, and really be a terror getting after quarterback.
Yeah, you turn into Jason Pierre-Paul or something. a guy who you go, how much do you weigh again? And you're doing the handstands and stuff. Woody,
right.
Always appreciate it, brother. And like I said, you and everybody else I know in the recruiting industry, it is not easy right now with the portal and all that stuff. So I certainly appreciate all the work y'all do. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Chuck.
All right, Woody Womack again from Rivals. You're and it's the same thing. I mean, 6'4", 245 right now for Marvin Jones Jr., and there is another 20 pounds you're going to put on that kid. It's just going to be unbelievably explosive. And there's so much more I want to talk to him about. We'll get into some more players next time with Woody.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
If you are talking about National Football League linemen, then age doesn't really matter. In fact, it's pretty close to irrelevant. If you're talking about like a 30-year-old lineman across from a 26-year-old lineman in the NFL, those are two grown men who have been in the league for either 4, 5, 6, 8 years, however long. That's apples and apples. I've said for years, when you're talking – offensive line, defensive line in college football, I don't even care who you're playing. Even if it's Alabama and they've got this 18-year-old five-star and this 18-year-old, one way that you can at least kind of pull even in a gargantuan mismatch when it comes to talent is, well, I'm older. I got 22-year-old, 23-year-old. How do you think Brigham Young wins sometimes? Half their roster goes on a two-year mission. That ain't even a redshirt year. They got 24-year-old people on that roster as a regular issue. That's different when you're going against an 18- or 19-year-old and you're 22, 23. You have grown to almost be a grown man, and you're playing a child. Really talented child who's got 5 stars. Nick Saban says, come to Tuscaloosa. But I'm 22, and if I get my mitts on you, there's a chance you're going to be blocked. I want to welcome on right now from 24/7 Sports. It is Ryan Callahan. Ryan, how are you today, brother?
Hey, doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you making some time. You're on the line there as I was kind of introducing, you know, what I want to talk about with Tennessee today. They've got grown men on the defensive line. It's either five super seniors that are back. That all as a defensive lineman, they got 5 of them. That in and of itself is a built-in advantage, but how good will those players be either individually what is the real advantage there?
Yeah, that's a great question. We thought that was one of the things that kind of kept Tennessee's defense pretty solid throughout Jeremy Pruitt's tenure. But then this year, this spring, hearing the comments from Josh Heupel and even Rodney Garner, the new veteran defensive line coach back at Tennessee, coming out of spring practice, they looked at the defensive line as very thin and didn't feel that. I think they were very happy with that group, what they saw this spring. So I think you have, like you said, some experience, some veteran guys, but you also have some players who are really not stars yet. They are the guys who played a lot of football, but how good are they? That's the big question. And they still felt enough concern about that position. They went out and got Dejon Terry, a transfer from Kansas, and Caleb Tremblay, a USC transfer that they think will play a lot as a one-year guy. He's a fifth-year senior already coming from USC. So that's a position they felt they had to address. So I think there are a lot of questions about just how good Rodney Garner and that staff think that group can be. And it's guys who play a lot of snaps, but they're not necessarily big producers in the past. So it'll be interesting to see who gets the most playing time at that position and just how good they are this year.
Continuing with Ryan Callahan. Follow him on Twitter, at RyanCallahan247. I know it's him because he got a blue check. Ryan, let's move back one level. The transfer from Texas, that's not nothing. You lead a Power 5 team in tackles. That's Texas, that's even a little bit more. What does that do to the overall, I'll say, SEC caliberness of the linebacker core on Rocky Top this year?
Yeah, I think it definitely solidifies that quite a bit. You're not going to replace Henry Toto. I mean, I know Tennessee fans looked at that loss with him moving to Alabama and said, you know, he didn't have a great year last year anyway, so that they can replace him. Well, he was still a real talent. There's a reason Alabama and Ohio State were battling for him in the transfer portal and saw him as quite likely an immediate starter in their defenses. So I think Tennessee's was never going to make up for that loss entirely, but a guy like Juwan Mitchell can step right in and give you immediate production and some stability at that position. So he's got some of the same limitations Henry Toto had, frankly. He's not going to be great in coverage. If you put him out in the slot against a receiver or an athletic tight end, he's probably going to struggle with that. Covering quick slants will be a challenge, all those things. But if you get him just playing in the box, doing what linebackers do best, he's pretty good, and he was productive at Texas last year, as you said. So I think that was a big pickup, and as much as anyone they added, and they added several in the transfer portal, he's one I think you can look at right now and say he ought to be pretty productive for Tennessee this season.
Wrapping up again, Ryan Callahan, 247. I was talking, maybe it was Tuesday, I was talking about Alante Taylor and saying whatever I was saying, and I had somebody tell, oh, Tennessee fan. I was like, I'm not a Tennessee fan, I'm a Alante Taylor fan. I had said, I remember in recruiting, I was told he's as athletic as anybody they've had. He could play offense easily, you know, whatever. I was as impressed with his on-field play. He was really good last year. The fact that he had a bad hamstring, and when everybody all across college football, especially in Knoxville, and certainly after the season, you had people jumping off the ship all over the game, Alante Taylor stayed. And I'm just impressed with that. Like I said, I'm not a Tennessee fan. I'm not his agent in the future. I like that kid on the field and off.
I definitely agree. There's a lot to be said for him being one of the talented guys who has stuck around on this roster. At the same time, it's interesting. There are some really divided opinions on him. You talk to some people in and around the program, I think there's a sense that he hasn't quite put things together to the level that he's capable of doing. I think there's definitely another step to his game, and there's a reason you don't hear him being discussed by a lot of people as one of the very best cornerbacks in the SEC going into the season. But he does have a lot of experience. He's started since his freshman year, really. He's got everything you want in a defensive back, and there's a lot of optimism that he can finally put it together this year. He's had his moments, had his games where you look at him, and especially in run support, he's really good. He makes some plays here and there, but putting it all together, that's going to be the challenge. And Tennessee doesn't have many guys on defense they feel they can count on to be good, you know, above average SEC players. They need him to be their best player on defense this year. He's capable of doing that. They don't have many guys like him. Now it's time to see if he can put it together in his final year.
All right, Ryan, a couple on offense. I'll let you run. If we go back and look at that really impressive class that had Wanya Morris and so many of the other big names in it, you go back and look at it and you're like, all right, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone. Oh, Darnell Wright's still there. What is he as a player?
Yeah, that's another guy we're still asking that question about, because we've not really seen it, not consistently. I think there are some serious questions about whether he will ever reach that five-star ceiling that he had coming out of high school. And even then, we knew he was sort of a developmental guy. He was a five-star that was probably not going to play like a five-star as a true freshman. Tennessee just probably had him in a bit of an unfortunate situation where they needed him to step in pretty early in his career and play. But the problem is, I think, you know, I'm not sure he's had quite the motivation for whatever reason. He's just one of those guys that has needed to dedicate himself a little bit more. His conditioning has never been quite at the level it needs to be. if he can have a good offseason, I think there's still that potential in him to be that type of player. But so far, I just don't think we've seen it. So that's like you said, not many guys left from that good class Tennessee had a couple years ago. And the ones they have, like Darnell Wright, just haven't lived up to their potential in some ways. So they really need him to be pretty good. They still got some veterans on the offensive line, and he's one of them that has that ceiling to be at a very high level in the SEC.
Yeah, that is a giant human. Last thing I want to ask you about is, now I got an opinion, and I know this is true. It's not even an opinion. It's fact. If in a case like Tennessee where you hire the new coach and he's an offensive guy, clearly, if you go out and you can't even get the ball snapped in the spring game, it's just a spring game. I mean, we know that. But if you can't get the ball snapped, the defense is all over you like a bad rash, that's just a really bad look. If you just rip it down the field play after play like Tennessee did, I think it's still a bad look because I'm like, guys, what about the defense? What have you digested now that you've had a month and a half or whatever after the spring game? Because that's what happened. I mean, the Tennessee defense, it was like they were playing with nine. What have you digested? Was that kind of set up so that the offense would have some success?
You know, I think it's a fair question to ask in hindsight because that is what Tennessee needed out of that spring game. Obviously, as you said, you want good plays on both sides of the ball. Either side dominating in a spring game is going to make you ask questions. This staff is selling offense. That's not much of a secret. They needed to go out there and be able to sell that product a little bit. I'm not sure how big of a deal that was, but I think it was important enough that if they had a bad day on offense, a lot of people would have been scratching their heads and saying, is this guy going to be that good? Because his offense didn't look like much in the spring game. So was it set up? I don't know, but it was set up in this sense. They were missing a couple of guys that would have made a difference on defense in a game where you're not blitzing and not doing anything exotic. You know, Byron Young, who they thought might be one of their top pass rushers coming out of the spring, he was not out there. Tyler Barron was a little limited. You didn't have some guys that would have made a difference in that game. So that made it tough. But on top of that, yeah, it's a generic game plan on defense. It's set up to be pretty good for offense. So they needed to have that kind of day, and it worked in their favor. So we'll see what this team is in the long run. But they need to sell offense early on, so it makes sense they were able to do that in the spring game.
And related to that, I know I said, you know, final question three times, but I was talking to a Tennessee fan who was not in the media. You're a grad, right? Am I remembering?
I am, yeah.
Okay. So it's particularly painful for you on one level, but I was talking to a Tennessee fan, and he was just asking questions. We were just talking about his team. And I said something about they're going to be the worst defense in the SEC. And I was kind of just saying that as an aside to set up my bigger point. He was like, there's no way we'll be the worst defense in the SEC. I was like, buddy, saddle up. I was like, you don't understand. You just don't have game wreckers. You don't have a single guy over there who can blow up a left tackle and, you know, swallow up a quarterback or whatever. Was I being too rough there in that evaluation?
No, I don't think so. It kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about Alante Taylor. There really are only a few guys on this defense that you can look at and say he might be really good. I mean, project an all-SEC player from that defense. If it's not Alante Taylor and it somehow doesn't end up being Tyler Barron, who would it be? Tyler Barron's a second-year guy that wouldn't be counted on as a possible star in a lot of SEC defenses. Tennessee needs him to be one of their best players because he showed some real potential last year. So if he can't be that pass rusher you're talking about that can blow up the left tackle, if Byron Young, the junior college transfer, can't, yeah. If Alante Taylor can't make a difference in the secondary, they've got some real issues. So it really could be one of the worst defenses in the SEC. They've at least got a lot of questions to answer.
Yeah, we all get a turn, don't we, Ryan, as a fan and a graduate? No matter who, you all get that car crash. That everybody gets their turn, man. I appreciate you making time today. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, Ryan Callahan again from 24/7 Sports. And the guy he was talking about, actually, former outside linebacker who they moved up to the line because you want that burst, and it's a fine move. But if you're talking about, you know, again, getting into a 300-pound offensive tackle, tough proposition when you're actually an outside backer, but now you're playing defense, they're going to bulk him up as well. But there aren't a lot of right answers that you're sifting through. I'll put it that way. You know, Henry Toto, I'm pausing for a second because I was going to say defense. Mm-mm. If Henry Toto was still in the program, he's the best player on the team. And I'm going to say, I don't know that Tennessee will actually get to 85 scholarships, but maybe they get close. If they fill all 85, they just somehow get special. I think it's down to 50 kids or whatever. They get to all 85, work the transfer portal really hard. Henry Toa would have still been the best player on the team. You play Alabama every year. He's going to play, and I think he's going to start, but he's going to have to work for it. And if something were to happen and he misses a week or five or something, will it hurt you? It won't make you better. You're fine before he showed up. That's where Tennessee is right now. Just, I mean, I talk about a couple of programs who want to have expectations. And Tennessee and South Carolina are at the top of that list, and it is simply the sheer volume of SEC-caliber players that you get in the program. I'll give Butch credit. He did it. Didn't do anything with them, really, to increase their – honestly, to turn them into just demonstrably better ball players by the time they were leaving. In a lot of cases, I'm just giving you my opinion about what I think I saw. Did not do a lot to turn them into better ball players by the time they left. But, boy, he got them into the program. And part of the issue was a lot of them left before even 3 years or 4 years. Left to go to Baylor or Colorado State or wherever. So that was it. But he got them into the program. Lane got them into the program. When we were just talking about the Wanya Morris class from two Decembers ago, five-star. I think there were 3 5-stars, I believe. Darnell Wright was one of them. It's like, this guy's gone. He's gone, and Darnell is still there. Same sort of thing. Go back and look at that Lane, and you can find it. You can go all over the internet and find. Type in Lane Kiffin, recruiting class, Tennessee. I don't know, top 10, maybe top 8, top 6, and it was this stud player and that 5-star and this number one running back and, like, number one player, may not have been number one player in America. Bryce Brown, number one running back in America. They wound up getting a 4th receiver, a couple of line. I mean, when you go back and look at guys who were there for their senior year at Tennessee, and this was a time when that was normal. Sign a kid, and 4 years later, he's there on senior day with his mom. That's not what it is anymore, but it was for, like, go back and look at that class. Top 10 class with all kinds of players that he took decommit from Bama and Auburn and FSU and LSU, all of that. Going to play for Lane. Why was it Tennessee Wild Boys, I believe, is what they were calling themselves. And they got about 4 players who made it, maybe four to their senior year, and the impact player, just not even there, barely even starters. So that's what a class can turn into. Go look at Georgia's 2013. I think that was the Dream Team class. Go look at Georgia's 2013 class. Gone. Couldn't play. Over-recruited, et cetera. It happens to everybody. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, wrap up on a Thursday from Harris Cherokee next.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
K Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
I don't think there's going to be enough significance in name, image, and likeness that, you know, the millions of dollars that they could make going out for the draft, would it impact that or affect it? But again, we don't have any experience with it, so we don't know how it's going to impact, you know, guys in the future.
Nick Saban at Nick's Kids Golf Tournament. He's talking about name, image, likeness, and the question of, hey, now the kids can get a little scratch in their pocket. Does that mean that maybe there will be fewer kids declaring for the draft, quote, early? They ain't declaring for the draft early. They're declaring for the draft after three seasons. But declaring for the draft 3 years after their high school class graduates, declaring for the draft. And Nick Saban was correct in his explanation of the math. Well, Trevor Lawrence. See, Trevor Lawrence is an exception at the absolute high, not the high end, the highest end of name, image, likeness. Highest end. But even Trevor Lawrence, what he would have gotten from, I don't know, Under Armour or a video game or Pepsi or whoever, doesn't compare to what he would get signing with Jacksonville Jaguars as his first overall pick. This is my opinion. Is this going to be extra for a player like Najee Harris? He didn't come back to Alabama because name, image, and likeness, but since he did come back, he can cash in. A kid in that situation who decides, I'm going to come back for one more year. So that was Nick Saban talking about it. Dan Matthews being here in just a minute, but right now I'm going to wrap it up with a closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
We should all pause for a good minute to appreciate what's about to happen over the next 10 months. And I'd reference this at the beginning of the show today. Coach K announced his retirement following the coming season. We never appreciate in the moment exactly what this scenario is. I can remember, I was a tiny, tiny little guy, but I remember. First college basketball game I ever watched on TV was John Wooden's final game. I watched Bear Bryant coach his final game. I remember thinking, well, he was really good. It's going to be difficult to replace him. That literally was as far as I took it, was how do they replace Bear? Think of the name Joe Namath. Oh, my gosh, you can't talk pro football. Alabama, you can't talk really SEC football. You really can't talk pro football without Joe Namath. There was an awful Monday night in the rain in Chicago. He threw four interceptions in the first half, got yanked, had a fifth interception nullified by a penalty. I was a fourth grader watching that night. Do you know what everyone's take on it was in the moment? Namath is just an old guy who can't do it anymore. Now? I had somebody last week, I referenced something about it. She's like, whoa, you saw Joe Namath play? I was like, yeah. And you have one more season to see John Wooden and Bear Bryant slash Coach K. Even though none of us really understand it right now in the moment, I promise you, in 10 years or 30, you're going to have to, whoa, wait a minute. You watch Coach K? Yeah, I did. Well, tell me about it. That's who announced, yeah, you only get to watch me for another 10 months. All right, that is my closing argument brought by the law offices of Alexander Shannara and Associates. What up, Dan?
Oh, not much. And you know how I've talked about the Nick Saban effect when it comes to jobs on the market, and you've even taken it even further, Chuck, where you've said, yeah, all he has to do is turn on his phone, and he's already got 40 missed messages from coaches saying, hey, coach, yeah. I understand you got this. The good news is Ed Orgeron has that at LSU right now with the news of him and James Craig, the offensive line coach, parting ways. Because, Chuck, are we aware of what LSU has on an offensive line that is 2 years removed from winning the Joe Moore Award, which goes to the position as a whole? All five starters are back from last year's team. So now there is probably every single major Power Five offensive line coach who is looking at this situation, and even some at some programs where they feel like, hey, I could raise my profile absolutely if I take this job. And that is what's happening to Ed Orgeron right now, is he is going to have his pick of who he wants for this. The search is not going to be long. It's not going to be much more than a meeting of, hey, guys, here's a handful of names that we've got. Let's give them a call, and let's see if indeed they are willing to leave school. As Because it sounds like, Chuck, it already sounds like that process is well underway. It probably won't take very long, but it's not very often that programs that are not Alabama or of the ilk that have this situation for them. Sometimes you got to do a little bit more digging. The good news is when you factor that in, a coach looks at you and says, I don't really have to do much building of this group. I can come in, I can fine-tune it, and then I can build my recruiting profile even more. Coach, you got yourself a deal.
Dan, appreciate it. Just retweeted something, a quote. Somebody had sent me a newspaper article. Omar Neal is a radio host in Tuskegee, Alabama. 588,000 people have died because they didn't get this vaccine. Nobody died that did take it. That's pretty good odds for me. That's Omar Neal. That's a black man in Tuskegee, Alabama, saying, yeah, I got the vaccine. So retweeted that at King CFB. Good stuff for Omar Neal there. I appreciate him doing that. All right, wraps it up on a Thursday, folks. Talk to y'all tomorrow.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.